In geology there, I'm on page 36, somewhere around in there, where it talks about evil angels. Names for demons in the New Testament. 35. Yeah, we're on names where it says the existence of demons. We haven't gotten down there yet. We're on number 4. I was up at the top of the page last time. All right, so they're talking about names for these demonic forces in the New Testament. You've got evil angels, where it says expression the devil and his angels, and Beelzebub, the prince of these devils. And then the evil angels wreaked havoc on Egypt, top of the page, during the plagues. Now, some related terms.
Sorry, where are you?
I'm at the top of C1. Related terms in the New Testament. Diamonizomai. This verb means to be possessed by a demon. It's used in lots of different forms, 13 different times. The next one, number 2, this is an adjective which means demonic, indicating the character. Like if you say somebody is meek, that's a characteristic. If you say they're demonic, that's a character. So of worldly wisdom in contrast to divine wisdom, or wisdom that's from above. I don't want to pronounce number 3. This word occurs only in Acts 17:22, where Paul says that the Athenians are too superstitious, or in other words, very or overly religious. It literally means that they were reverencing demons or divine things more than usual. It is derived from diago, which means to fear, and diamon, which is fearing a demon. And so when it says too superstitious, for example, if you're driving along and you see a black cat drive across the road, what do you think?
Kill it?
Yeah, I said I wasn't going fast enough.
Wasn't very lucky then.
But it's kind of funny, back in the Middle Ages, having a black cat around was very lucky. But it took back, I don't know, in the 1500s, 1600s, they switched it, and a black cat crossing your path became bad luck. So what happens when you are too superstitious, you allow things that happen to scare you and make you afraid. Now, does a Christian supposed to look at things and think spiritually? Yes. You see a sunrise, you go, praise God. Man, look how beautiful that is. You have something going, anything in your life. It's just like, Lord, are you trying to get my attention? You're being spiritually attuned. That is not superstitious. That's spiritual awareness. But the world is spiritually aware. I mean, something happens, they think everything's an omen. And that's what they were in Acts chapter 17. They saw everything as demonic. Number 4, this is derived from also diado, meaning to fear, to reverence, and from diamonion, which speaks of reverencing demons or divine things. That occurs only in Acts 25 and is translated again superstition and sometimes religion in different versions. So these are related terms that just talk about focusing on the dark. Now, the existence of demons. How do you know they're demons? Well, every religion knows they're demons. The history of most religions from the earliest times shows that belief in Satan and demons have always been universal. Spells, incantations, magical texts, exorcisms, various forms of demonological phenomena abound in all the archaeological discoveries from Samaria, Babylon, Egypt, Assyria, Chaldea, Greek, and Roman antiquity, filled with demonic phenomena. The deities that they worshipped were invisible demons represented by material idols and images. Look at a hieroglyphic, Egyptian hieroglyphic, and look at all the demons there. The head of a jackal. This god, was it Osiris? In charge of the gates, going into Styx, going into darkness, ending up in what was called Hades. And all the gods, they're all dark demons, man. To an amazing degree, the history of religion is an account of demon-controlled religion, particularly in its clash with Hebrew faith and later with Christianity. Christianity didn't come along and say, there are no demons, all is light, everything is good. No, nobody said that. Christians came along, and even the Jews came along and says, we have a force greater than demons. We know the creator of all, and that we don't fear demons, we fear God. Now, the proof of existence comes from the proof of the existence of angels. Just, you know, you got to take care. How do you know they're demons? Because there are angels. That opens up the proof. Evidence for the reality of angels and the reality of demons overlap. Some of the same arguments pertain to both. Satan's fall is one great proof. When the highest of all angelic beings fell, he became evil. His existence as an evil angel has been settled in the words of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 10, where he says, "I saw Satan fall." If this evil angel exists, then there's no problem for other evil spirit beings also to exist. Now also look at the proof from Satan's following. It's obvious that other angelic beings shared in Satan's fall and so became evil. And it talks about angels, multiple of Satan and his angels. The hell was created for the devil and his angels. There are also evil supernatural events. God says there are three reasons why bad things happen. You ready? Some things happen because it's just a cursed course of nature. Alright? It's just, that's how the world is cursed. Things just naturally go wrong because of the curse God put on the universe of Adam's fall. That's why gamblers usually fail. I mean, gamblers walk away poor because of the curse. If there was no curse, every bet you made, you'd win. But because everything's against you, you're usually going to lose. Second reason, B, is because of God's punishment or chastisement in your life. Supernatural troubles come into our lives because of our own sin. So you get in trouble with God, God brings trouble into your life. But there's also a third reason why bad things happen in your life is because Satan is at work. Right? Who brought the whirlwind upon the house in which Job's children were in?
Yeah.
Satan did. All right? So sometimes trouble comes to our lives simply because Satan wishes to torment. John 10:10. Who knows that verse? The thief cometh, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that more abundant. So as Jesus says, trouble comes to your life sometimes because of Satan. D, proof from the Old Testament. Proof from the Old Testament. The Old Testament obviously regards demons as existing evil entities. Since man's fall, God's people have been attacked by Satan and his demons. You find it in the first murder. Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at this now. Let me get my Bible. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. Adam knew his wife Eve, knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." She was so proud of herself. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel. He also brought of the first things of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen?" So, what you got, look at John chapter 8 and verse 44. What's going on there is more than just what you see. John chapter 8 and verse 44. You have two religions at war at that moment. John 8:44. Edward, would you read that, please?
Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it.
My first John now. So when was the first murder?
Cain.
With Cain.
Cain, yeah.
And who does Jesus say was behind that murder?
Satan.
king was following the lusts of his father. 1 John. 1 John 3:12. Read verse 11 and 12, please.
For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteousness.
Righteous. So don't be like Cain, who was driven, controlled by that wicked being. So he was demon-possessed. Next time you're angry, better check yourself. Why are you angry? Why are you allowing something go through your head like that? All right, so fallen angels, we also know that not only did Satan instigate the first murder, fallen angels attacked the human race in Genesis chapter 6. Now, there's this Shechem were real devils, not mere idols, because they were worshipping the powers behind the idols. So the Old Testament tells you very clearly in Psalm 106 that they were devils. They were powers behind the idols. 1 Corinthians 10:20, Barry. Don't we need a new building? Don't we need our own building?
Or get rid of those guys next door.
Or get rid of the...
Yeah, their building just surprisingly burns.
Oh, no. No. Don't even say it. Right, 1 Corinthians 10:20.
Yeah, far from heaven, that way, Billy?
I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would, and they would not that you should have fellowship with devils.
Alright, look back in verse 19.
What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything?
Yeah, am I telling you that the idol is anything? Don't worry about the idol. It's the devil behind the idol. Right? So under the Old Testament, God hated idolatry, not because of the image, but because of the devil that was associated with that image. Alright, so the Jews regarded idols as demons, and they wanted themselves to be worshipped by men. Number 3, consider also the spirit who volunteered to be a lying spirit through the false prophet speaking to Ahab when Micaiah came along and exposed him. Number 4, notice also that the spiritual powers behind the world rulers whom Daniel's angelic visitor wrestled. Daniel is praying, and Michael comes up and he says, the prince of Persia withstood me. And he wasn't a literal human being, the prince of Persia, but a demonic prince. Another proof, from the New Testament of the existence of devils and demons. Proof from the New Testament, there's more than 100 references to the word devils, in the Bible, most of them occurring in the New Testament. All the writers in the Synoptic, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Gospels, report several cases of demon possession to demonstrate the power of Christ over demons. We may briefly state that all the writers, though not in every book of the New Testament, except the author of Hebrews, mentions demons or evil angels. Just unique that Hebrews doesn't mention it. F. Proof from Christ's teaching and ministry. Christ accepted the concept that Satan was a ruler of a host of demons. He taught that Satan and his angels were morally responsible persons destined by God for the lake of fire. He doesn't put them in there arbitrarily, he says, because they have deserved it.
Just a question there. So yeah. Is angels are demons are fallen angels, the ones that we're saying?
No. No.
We said the devil and his angels, isn't it?
Right. I'm using that. Satan and his angels. What is your question? Demons are not. I do not believe demons are angels. Right, have we not looked at that theory? I thought we worked through all the theories. Yeah, we're getting to it. Let me just say it this way. Yeah, sorry. Tell you what they are. Losing mankind, what they do. Where is it that I'm not? I thought we dealt with all of that. Oh, no, we're coming up to it. Origins of demons. The next page. All right. Hold your hat. Okay, we'll get to it. Okay. Satan and his angels were morally responsible persons destined by God the angels. A large portion of Christ's ministry involved casting out devils, demons, for those that were possessed. Got several different examples there. He gave his disciples power to cast out devils, and he viewed his history, his victory over them, all the time as if he was having victory over Satan. He spoke of the reality and power to his disciples in private, Matthew chapter 17, when he spoke about the demon-possessed boy that they couldn't kick out except by fasting. And he never corrected anyone for believing in their existence and never gave any hint that they were not real. Who would come along and say demons are not real? Who would say that? The Sadducees are exactly right. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in devils. They didn't believe in angels. But who else in the modern realm?
Unbelievers. Rationalists.
Rationalists would say that problems are all because of just that's just how things are. They wouldn't believe that. Now, they're usually looking at an extreme. They're always responding to people. How there are people who believe that there are demons under every chair. I think they sit in chairs. But anyway, most people are afraid of looking under a rock because they're afraid they're going to find a demon somewhere. Or they're afraid to go into a haunted house because there must be ghosts and demons and goblins and ghouls in there. And so a rationalist says there is no such thing at all of that. There are religions that also see that there are no demons. Who would say that? Have you heard of a Unitarian church? Mm-hmm. Unitarians believe that there's one all-encompassing God, and he, she, or it up there loves all religions. And there's nothing bad, it's just in your mind. There's a woman named Mary Baker Eddy Grover Cleveland. She had like 17 names, I don't know, because she kept marrying and killing off her husbands. But she started what was a group called Christian Science, like Kent Hovind. And he said, all trouble is in your mind. There's no trouble in the world. It's only what you think is bad. That's bad.
Is that the woman started Seven Day Adventists?
Mary Baker. No, you're thinking of White. Ellen G. White started the Seventh Day Adventists. Okay. A lot of women start a lot of things.
Can I ask you a question here? Uh-huh. Is devils also a term in the New Testament used for a bad person? Can it be? Because you know what the way Jesus is. Did he literally mean he was a devil, or did he mean that he was just a bad guy?
No.
Because I've heard like pastors saying, he's a devil, or whatever. He's an unsaved devil.
Yeah, okay. I think people abuse the term. When Jesus called Judas, and he says, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Judas, in my understanding, is the first coming of the Antichrist. But he himself didn't even know whether he was until he was inhabited by the devil at the Last Supper. Correct?
Yep.
So, by the devil himself. So he had not been taken over by the devil until the Last Supper. But Judas, at that point, was a devil, and didn't even know it. A devil in the flesh. So Judas is the first coming of the Antichrist. He kills himself, suicide.
What a way to go.
But he's coming back, and he will be the second coming as a real, literal, living Antichrist taking over the world. And it's Judas. He didn't go to hell when he died. It says he went to his own place, which is a funny way of talking. He didn't say hell. He said to his own place because he's coming back again. So that's how come he's called a devil, not just a bad person. So when you're calling somebody a devil, you mean they're devilish. This wisdom is devilish, the Bible says. Sensual, earthly. The wisdom from above is first peaceable. So he compares devilish, something that's like a devil, but he was a devil. And to call somebody a devil would mean they're possessed by a devil.
So it just means he was actually a real human being.
He's possessed by a devil. So later he's possessed by the devil. Yeah. Yes, sir?
Can I say two things?
Only one. Fast.
do you know if Judas would it mean, let's say Judas decided to obey God and follow him, and then would God have to use someone else then?
Yes.
Of course. And then the second thing was, I found something about the Unitarianism.
Yes, sir.
It says that Unitarianism is a Christian theological movement named for its understanding of God as one person, in direct contrast to the Trinitarianism, which defines God as three persons coexisting.
That's a different Unitarianism,
But
it says Unitarians maintain that Jesus, in some sense, the Son of God, but he is not the one God.
That's right. Unitarianism is a theology that says there's just one God, and it's not Trinity. All right, but that's a theology. But the religion called Unitarians, they say that they're almost like the Baha'i faith, but they're much more weak. All right, they basically just whatever God you want to follow. It's just the point being different. Okay, so Jesus never corrected anybody for believing in the existence, that they weren't there, and yet a lot of religions will tell you, don't worry about devils. And really, I tell you, don't worry about devils either. Alright? I know they're there, but I worry about God. Alright? Don't fear him who's able to kill your soul, your body. But fear him who's able to kill and destroy both body and soul in hell. So, I mean, I really don't want to meet the devil on a dark night. I don't want to struggle with anybody who's demon possessed. If you got a sister who's frothing in the mouth, don't call me. Call me, yes. But I'm not looking for an opportunity to go take on a devil head on. I mean, that's tough. That is rough, man. You're going into something that could destroy not only you, but also the other person. It's very touchy. But I don't fear them.
Have you ever been called to a frothing person?
Yeah.
But what I mean is you'd have to like really be like you'd have to be like a prayer warrior just to pray like.
Yeah. And rarely do you ever feel like you're ready. See, there are some people who claim to be exorcists and they're demon possessed themselves. They're messing around with stuff and they enjoy it. I can't imagine enjoying it. I mean, you have to do it's like a doctor. No doctor wants to go walk up to a car wreck scene where there are three parts to the human body all spread out and you gotta reattach them all. But he does it. So
this fellow's here was cut his head, but Peter. Peter cut his ears. Somebody's here.
That's a guy named Matthias. I'm sorry. No, that was actually, he's unnamed, and the idea is people thought that was Mark, John Mark. It's a guess of who it is. But yeah, Jesus is being taken away in ropes and back to Caiaphas and back to the Sanhedrin. And Peter, man, he says, I'm not going to let this happen. And he swipes. Now, I don't know if the guy went like this, or how do you cut off somebody's ear? But anyway, Jesus puts the ear back on. But that's not Judas he's cutting. He's not cutting the ear of Judas. He's cutting the ear of nobody. And it's probably John Mark. That was the guess. Okay. All right. Yes, sir.
Sorry. I just want to find out, would you say Judas, is it predestined for him to do the betrayal, or it could have been the other way around?
Are you asking, could Judas have repented? Could Judas have repented, exactly, or yeah, was it a done deal? There was no way for him to get saved.
Well, both ways, like, was it a done deal? Was it predestined for him to do the betrayal?
I think God predicted. I don't know if he predestined. That's a tough one that I'm not sure about. But I'll say it this way, okay? In the Old Testament, it predicts that there would be somebody who would be the best friend of the Messiah. He said, if it had been mine enemy, I would have been able to handle betrayal. But it was mine own familiar friend who walked with me into the house of God and worshiped, and yet he turned on me. So, it is predicted. Then Jesus says this, have I not chosen you 12? Jesus particularly went to an unsaved, a wicked man named Judas and said, I want you to follow me. And Judas did. So was it that Judas could not be? I'm not so sure I'd go that far and say Judas was just, alright. But, I'm not going to stand if somebody says, I think Judas was predestined, there was no way for him to get saved. I'm not going to fight him because I don't have proof. But I think Judas, because he does reason. He said, why was this not sold? he's not an Autobot. He's not just responding like a demon. He's actually struggling with who he is. He is a devil, and then he becomes filled with the devil. And I think his human nature still had the ability to have free will. And he could have gotten saved. But God knew he wouldn't. For example, Pharaoh. Everybody struggles with Pharaoh. Was he predestined he would never bend before God? No, God predicted he wouldn't. But God still, when asked, will you let him go? Because Pharaoh, four times it says, he hardened his heart, he hardened his heart. And the last six times it says, and the Lord hardened his heart, and the Lord hardened his heart. So the first time, he's hardening his heart. And God takes over and says, now it's done. I've secured. He's not ever going to respond. I'm not going to let him break. So even Pharaoh had the chance to. Or else God wouldn't have asked him. God would have said, I'm taking my people and going by. And Pharaoh couldn't have fought him. But he went up to him and he says, you going to let him go? And Pharaoh could have said, you know what? I don't know your God. Show me how powerful it is and I'll consider it. He could have debated and could have tried to see whether to let him go or not. It's tough, but I think that Pharaoh had the opportunity to repent, and he chose not to. I think Judas had the opportunity to follow Christ, and he chose not to. It was predicted that he wouldn't, but I don't think he was predestined that he couldn't get saved. That's my personal thing. Okay? Alright, let's go on. The origins of demons. A. There are various suggestions have been made about how we got demons here. Some people believe that they are superstitious designations for natural diseases. Some people believe that they are the spirits of wicked deceased people. Some believe that they are the disembodied spirits of a pre-Adamic race, people who lived before Adam. Some people believe they are the spirits of monstrous offspring of angels and women in Genesis 6. Some believe that they are fallen angels. Some believe that they were created by Satan after his fall. So let's look at the superstitious designations for certain natural diseases. This theory dismisses the existence of demons. This would be what doctors would say. Alright? If a doctor met somebody and they're falling on the ground and they're frothing in the mouth and they're screaming out, Beelzebub and Apollyon, save me, Abaddon, help me. If they're crying all that stuff, they go, there's a chemical imbalance. And somebody else looks and says, man, she's inhabited by demons. So people call it superstition. This theory dismisses the existence of demons as personal evil forces who are real. It does not deal with the evidence in the Bible. Doesn't deal with extra-biblical case experiences, but rather clashes with all the evidence of scripture, history, and human experience. It cannot account for demons' terrible fear and animosity towards God, nor for their superhuman strength manifest through demon possession. Somebody will see a kid, and that kid will have superhuman strength when they're under possession. I go, well, I don't know how it happens, but it can't be a demon. Consider the case of the demoniac in Mark 5, where it says he has supernatural strength. He's not only cutting himself, but he's breaking chains. All right, but a lot of people say there are no demons. See, some people believe that demons are spirits of wicked deceased people. Now, you probably grew up thinking that, there's a house was haunted. Oh, there was an old man there. He hated children. And he just waits around for some little boy to go in there. And they think that they're the spirits of wicked dead people. All right, and that comes from the ancient Greek and the Chinese, how they believed demons were the disembodied spirits of deceased people who used to be evil. They come along and they cause problems in your life. There's no support whatever in Scripture, since the Bible is always places the unsaved dead in hell. So they're not coming up and bothering us. D. Disembodied spirits of a pre-Adamic race. Really? A theory. Those who favor this view hold that Genesis 1:1 refers to the creation of a perfect world. And that Satan, who was then Lucifer, ruled over the earth and a pre-Adamic race of man. They see a catastrophe between verses 1 and 2. Go to Genesis 1:1.
Yeah.
All right, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created what?
The heaven
and the earth. Now, we all know, listen to how they talk, we all know that everything God does is perfect. Right, that's the first supposition that can be easily proven wrong. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All right, so we all presuppose he would not have created the earth and heaven in the way that is described in the next verse. How does it say it in the next verse?
And the earth was a form and void.
And the earth was a mess. Was incomplete. In darkness. In need of a complete makeover. Alright, what's wrong with that statement? Everything. What you're looking at is how people who believe in what's called the gap theory believe that God created the earth perfect, and then in verse 2, we find the earth a mess, and God has to now start all over, and it's in darkness, it's been destroyed. As a matter of fact, people who believe in the gap theory think that the moon is proof that there was a battle someday, where there was stuff being thrown up by all these different beings, and the whole solar system is all pockmarked by a battle. You know the problem with that? It's in somebody's dream, it's not in the Bible. But they get the idea that there was a pre-Adamic. What does that mean, Dean?
Before Adam.
Good. So there were people before people. All right. So you come along here and you get to 6 days later, all right? On the sixth day, Adam is made, correct?
Yeah.
And we know Eve was created just for the next day because she was created in the Eve. Adam and Eve. All right. So they think that there was a pre-Adamic race of people that God had to destroy, and all of their spirits go into our realm. That's where the demons come from. Okay? Now, you have to really stretch your brain to get there. But that's what people, they want to, verse 1 and verse 2, to have a gap between it. Guess what? It doesn't exist. The only gap that's there is between this year and that year. Not in the Bible. So, to support this, anyway, they say this was when Lucifer fell. Alright? Lucifer was the covering angel that fell. Now, I got a problem for you. If Lucifer fell here, bam, alright? He sinned. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 28 that Lucifer walked in the garden as the most beautiful creature there was before he fell. He walked, he had every precious stone was his covering till iniquity was found in him. So Lucifer shows up in the sixth day because it was the sixth day that God created the garden. The garden didn't exist here. The garden existed here. If they say Lucifer fell here, my Bible says Lucifer fell here. And they can't comprehend it. They can't comprehend it. It's just what we call a pipe dream for those of you who used to drink. Yes?
Would that mean that they think that there was evil before?
Yes, that there was death before death.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't work. The Bible says that Adam brought death in, not a pre-Adamic race. All right? Support this theory, advocates say Genesis 1:2 must be translated, the earth became formless and void, and that's a joke. The Jewish distinction between angels and spirits, the Jews did have a problem between angels and demonic spirits. Greek tradition, the demons are the spirits of deceased men. They prove all these things, but most of the evidence is conjectural, it's a guess. The gap theory has very little support from Hebrew, even biblical scholars. I don't agree with it, I think it's stupid. The Hebrew wa consecutive in verse 2, and the earth was, is a continuous storytelling device. So all in all, you can read all that if you want, but let me skip that. For those reasons, I reject this theory. Right. I hope you guys don't go to it because it is a wacko idea to say that demons are those spirits. Number E. Some people believe that the demons are the spirits of a monstrous offspring of angels between fallen angels and women in Genesis 6. Right. The theory is based upon the idea that the sons of God in Genesis 6 were evil angels who cohabitated with certain women before the flood, which I believe. The results of this unnatural union were mongrel creatures, partly human and partly angelic, which I believe. They're known as the Nephilim, rendered giants, the mighty men of old. The idea is that the flood destroyed these monsters, but their spirits became the demons today. I disagree with that. Alright? It says that they're in chains of darkness right now. Okay? They are in chains of darkness. Evaluation goes on, if the sons of God in Genesis 6 are fallen angels, there's no evidence whatsoever that the spirits of the unusual children of those angels continue to freely roam the earth. There's no proof for that at all. Again, it's only conjecture. Number F. I know I'm rushing. Some people believe that demons are fallen angels. Here's the theory. All angels were created perfect. We agree. In Satan's original rebellion, he drew with him a great number of lesser angels, here's a theory, perhaps a third. So we read the devil and his angels going into the lake of fire. The theory is that Satan's angels are now called demons or devils. Now, those who hold this point of view, some call only the free fallen angels demons. Others hold that both the confined and the non-confined fallen angels constitute the whole company of demons. Demons, then, are Satan's subjects and helpers of his program of opposition to God and his people. Expelled from heaven with Satan, they have their abode in now the second heaven, which is this universe. Their warfare may be carried on with the elect angels there in the stars and with believers in the heavenlies. The unconfined seem free to roam the earth and carry on Satan's work here. Now, here's a question. Here's a confinement of demons. In this theory, you've got demons who are confined and demons who are not. In this theory, the angels that follow Satan, there are two general classes, the free and the bound. Of those bound, there are two places of confinement. Those who are in Tartarus, also called hell, which means Tartarus means dark place. These seem to be confined permanently until the final judgment of the angels who fall. Not because of the original rebellion of Satan, but because of some other terrible sin. If they're bound in Tartarus because of the fall, no angel or even Satan would be free. So they're thought that many scholars to be the sons of God of Genesis, which I do. I know I'm rushing. But evidently there are some angels, let's get rid of this wacko idea here, that there are some angels that fell and they interfered with God's plan by interfering with God's creation, interfered with God's people. And they interacted at the flood, right? The flood destroyed more than just people, okay? It destroyed the children of the sons of God and the daughters of men, okay? And all the angels that sinned, how many angels sinned?
Third.
Okay, we guess a third. Well, it says all the angels that sinned are now in chains of darkness. So, well, that means the devil doesn't have any angels, doesn't have any demons now. I don't know if I lost you. Stay with me.
Say it again.
Okay. There are a lot of demons today, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Bible says in 2 Peter that all the angels that sinned are now in chains of darkness.
Oh, yeah. Did you?
So how do we have demons if all the angels are... doesn't work.
The spirits of the angels.
It's the spirits of the angels. Yeah. Bleh. All right. Doesn't work.
Are there worse spirits?
Some people work on incredible long charts trying to figure the unfallen versus the rebel. It just doesn't work. You know, people try to come up with things. I'm going to run you. Do you have B, C, D, and E all in blank?
Yeah.
They're all blanks?
The tree is bent
with. Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah. They're unnecessary. Anyway, I don't know how I got basic theology and underscore. I don't know how. A guy named Charles Caldwell Ryrie, wrote a section on. And he believed this with all his heart, okay? It's some good stuff. You can learn some stuff from it. He's got some things that you can learn from it. But it's called Basic Theology, is your fill-in number 3. You really don't have to care about that, but you can look it up. basic theology.
What's his theory again?
His name is in there. It's Ryrie, Charles Ryrie.
No, what's his theory?
Oh, it's called... His theory is that demons are fallen angels. And then he tries to find some fallen angels to make into demons. He really strives very hard, okay? But let me just move on little. Let me do a G, because this is I know it doesn't matter. I don't know how they came up that way. So just run down to G.
We don't really have a G.
You should, created by Satan after his fall. Do you not?
A,
yeah.
But you have they're blank, the nature of demons?
No, created by Satan after his fall was A.
Oh, somehow that didn't get updated. I apologize. Make it G. Created by Satan after his fall. This is the only one I can find that actually makes sense.
Okay.
This final theory allows for the creative power of Satan to be used to create his own army on demand. Now, Satan has his angels, at least what's left of them. Because I don't believe that all the angels that fell, I don't believe all of them, that sinned, sorry. I don't believe all the angels sinned with messing with women. I don't believe that at all. They interacted there, and then they were judged. So there are still other angels. One of them is named Beelzebub. Another one is named Abaddon or Apollyon. There are angels that are demonic. They're of the devil, and they're incredibly powerful, but they're few. So the devil has to come up with another army. He's blown it. He threw every one of his army force against the world, and they lost him at the flood. So he's got to come up with another army. So let's look at how he did that. Satan has his angels. He's some of them, and I gave you the illustration of Beelzebub or Beelzebub, 2 Kings chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 12, and the guy named Apollyon in Revelation chapter 9, who's in charge of the pit. Number 3, but Satan seems to have another class of beings that angels seem to direct, devils, which are small copies of himself, and he has the power to do it. Let's go to Revelation 13:15, Eric.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
Alright. We have an image of a beast here, like Nebuchadnezzar's statue, don't we? And this is just an idol, isn't he? He's standing there and he's looking forward, and the false prophet is able to give what to the image?
Life.
He's able to give life. And the Greek word for that is pneuma. He's able to give breath. You ever heard of a pneumatic drill? A pneumatic drill is one of that's one of the things that has air coming through it. He gave breath to that image, so the image is not just a hologram. The image is a stone image that it comes alive. He gives stone life. And when he gives that stone life, it both speaks and it causes all the world to worship the beast. Alright, so the devil has the power to give life to dead things. So what you've got here is you've got the devil able to create living things. He's able to create demons. Satan's angels are incredibly powerful. Question. If there's an angel, one angel, let me see if I've got it here. I don't have it. One angel was able to kill how many men in one battle there? In the book of Judges, 185,000 people were killed in one night by one angel. One angel. So, here's a question. Let's look in Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 43-45. Kevin, you can read that.
43 to 45, is it?
43 to 45.
And when the unclean spirit is gone out of man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from
whence I came
out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation.
Okay. Alright. You've got a description of one devil, one unclean spirit that's inside a person. And he gets dumped. The person says, I'm giving up cigarettes. I'm not watching MTV anymore. I'm getting rid of this demon in my life. So the demon goes out and he goes, and then he gets bored. He says, I want to go home. But I can't go home by myself because he's able to kick me out. So I'm going to go get 7 of my buddies and we're going to go back in there and do some serious partying. So here's the difference. One angel is able to massacre 185,000 people. No problem at all. An unclean spirit is able to torment a life, but he needs help. And so he's not able to kill anybody, but he's able to convince a person to kill themselves. So there's a different degree between a demon and an angel. If it was a fallen angel, the fallen angel would be massacring people every day. Amen? Yes, sir.
So what I mean that the people who actually get thoughts of killing themselves is actually the body.
Yes, sir. That's why it says casting down imaginations in every high thing that comes into your head. Everything that's powerful or depressive, you must say, that doesn't belong in here at all. Because you could believe your own thinking. A lot of your own thinking doesn't come from you or from God. All right, that makes sense. We're looking at a power that is limited compared to the power of an angel, fallen or unwise, otherwise. So this unclean spirit has to come from somewhere. That's why they're called devils. Why are they called devils? Because they're little copies of the devil. They're just not all powerful. Here's another point. 2,000 of them inhabit one guy. Remember the demoniac there in Mark chapter 2? Or Mark chapter 5? He's filled with 2,000 of them, and yet he's not dead. Now, I was just talking to somebody, and somebody said, well, they didn't want him dead. Okay, think about it for a second. 2,000 going on inside of his head? He should have self-destructed. They're unable to kill, but they can get you and convince you. He's cutting himself, but they're unable to convince you to... They're unable to kill you, but they are able to convince people to kill themselves. These devils will all be defeated and bound one day when Satan himself is bound. Number 7, they are likened unto the birds of the air. The birds of the air. They're not likened unto angels. They're likened to birds. What is Beelzebub? What does Beelzebub mean? The Lord of the... Not the Lord of the angels, but little bitty, filthy creatures. So... Alright, so you got all these verses on how demons are compared to birds, flying things. Here's a summary. Birds of the air. Here's your summary. Demons, like angels, are not the product of an overactive imagination nor the superstitious designation for certain natural diseases. Neither are they the disembodied spirits of a supposed race of men before Adam. Nor are they the monstrous offspring of angelic cohabitation with women before the flood. They could be fallen angels. They're part of Satan's original rebellion and share in his work today, because there are some fallen angels. But they probably are the products of Satan's creative powers. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Wait, too.
Yes, sir. Here's a good theory. Let's hear what you say.
What if when the angels fell, they lost their powers? You know, like the good angels could kill 185,000 men, but when the angels fell, they lost the power from God, therefore they became just weak demons.
Okay, except you are told a destroyer comes in, and one of the angels in the Passover, he allows an angelic force, which is not a good angel, but he allows the destroyer, which is the Hebrew word abaddon in Revelation. That means destroyer. He allows a demonic angel, one angel, to kill all the firstborn in Egypt. That's a demonic angel. So he didn't lose power when they fell.
He's a bad and a really bad guy.
He's a fallen angel.
It says it's the angel of the bottomless pit. Like, he has control over the bottomless pit. That would mean...
Okay, you're saying he is very powerful, but you're saying that the angels that fell lost their powers. And I'm saying evidently they keep them.
No, but I'm saying maybe a bad angel. He's a good angel. Like,
oh, no.
He's power over the bottomless pit. Like, maybe God gave that order.
Okay, as far as I can tell, Apollyon and Abaddon are dark names. They're not a good name like Michael or Gabriel or something like that. It's not a good angel. That would be really pushing it. I can't prove it because I haven't studied it out to be able to say Abaddon. But in the Hebrew, the word means destroyer, which is not a good name. Okay. I don't know. To say that angels... I just have the other verse that says all the angels that sinned, they're all in chains of darkness, and maybe there's some left over, but evidently, if you've got 2,000 occupying one man, how big, every time you see an angel, how big are they? Always the shape of a man, they always appear as a man. Are they in reality a tiny little thing for 2,000 of them inside of a human? I don't know. I think that they're small to begin with. I think demons are, unclean spirits are small, they fly, they're filthy, that's why they're called unclean, and they are created by Satan after the fall. He's lost his army, so he's had to recreate them. That's my theory. You want to have another theory that the angels lost their power? That also is a popular theory that, you know, I was actually talking to Dan Perro. We were hashing out, saying, well, where did these guys come from? And he thinks also that angels lost their power when they fell. And I go, all right, well, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see where the connection is clearer. Yes, sir. We've got to quit.
I have two questions, if I can say earlier.
You sure your middle name is not Weston? Go ahead.
Now, do you know like how when we were created and then when Adam fell, we sinned, and when Adam fell, sin came into the world, so that we have the ability to spell, we just sin because it's in our nature. But then if the angels were created by God, how could they have a sin nature?
Let me cover that.
So. It is a long answer. You're going to have to either listen online or I'll have to tell you offline just for time. They don't have a sin nature, but they do have a free will. Okay. So the difference is I sin in ignorance. I don't see God. They sinned fully aware of what they were doing, and when they fell, they cannot be redeemed. Me, I fall in stupidity. I can be forgiven and made right. Okay? We got to finish in prayer. Let's see. I know you got a second question you have to ask me. You got to quit.
Okay.
All right. All right, Father, I hate talking and giving any kind of honor, attention to the devil, but sometimes knowing our enemy is just as important as anything else in the battle. And God, we don't wrestle against principalities. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. There are fallen angels. But there are also just powers out here. I don't know where they all came from, but I know they're real, and I know they're powerful. And I need to be ready to resist them. And the only way to do that is to submit myself unto you first. So Lord, keep me humble, keep us all soft and sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and to the will of God for us. May we be faithful to that work. I pray that we would bear much fruit for you. Don't let the devil have any more footholds in our lives. God, help us to occupy instead of give up territory. Help us to gain some territory in this world today. Help us be faithful and honor you like you deserve in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.